That. Let's warm up our vocal cords. Let's clap our hands. Let's get things going. Here we go.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King
among us,
let it rise.
Oh, let it rise.
Have a seat.
Good morning, Asbury members and guests. Great to see you this morning. My goodness, it's been a great, great week in the life of Asbury United Methodist Church. Over 90 kids almost every night this week gathered for Vacation Bible School with the G-Force. And they're coming to share with us in song in just a few moments, and we're looking forward to that. But great, great, great experience, and so much. Great thanks to our leaders and Laura Stinnett and our teachers, workers, participants. It was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We appreciate you. Also, our youth are just back from a fantastic week at Ozark Mission Project, and so we're grateful to Amy and all the adult leaders that went to that and saw some interesting video, but that's all I'll say on that. And so anyway, great, great week in the life of mission and ministry at Asbury United Methodist Church, but we've got more to come. And so I want you to be sure before you leave today to check out Mr. Clark Cogble, Mr. Ben Cogble. There you go. Ben's giving you a wave. They are back there at the Hog on the Hill table, an exciting event that's coming up October the 11th. You don't want to miss this. I don't know that Asbury's ever experienced an event quite like this. You're going to have the fall festival going on. You're going to have the pumpkin patch going on. You're going to have live music going on. And if that's not enough, you're going to have the first ever Hog on the Hill going on, which means a barbecue bake-off, a dessert bake-off, and just all kinds of games and wonderful time together. It's going to go to help our hunger initiative here in Pulaski County, as well as our shared ministries. There's all kinds of sign-ups there. You know, the secret to a great event in the life of the church is participation. So whether you just come or whether you want to show off your culinary skills, your baking skills, you have ways to sign up for those things, as well as set up, you know, take down, all that kind of stuff. Please, please prayerfully consider what you can do to make this event a wonderful, wonderful extravaganza. I also want to bring to your attention that Stone Soup leaves this afternoon at 1:30. If you're new to Asbury, you're not aware that this is a mission that once every 2 months, the last Sunday of the month, they meet at Quapaw Quarter, which is downtown Little Rock, and they serve the homeless. They serve them not only food, which they prepare and serve, but also they serve the grace of God and the fellowship of Christ. So I hope that you'll prayerfully consider being a part of that. If you can't do it this afternoon, then you know when it is, the last Sunday of every other month. So hopefully you'll be a part of that. I'm so glad to see you here today. I want you to turn around and give each other a great Asbury welcome, and don't forget to sign the attendance pads. Thank you so much.
Coming to end. Thank you so much. Beautiful. Please have a seat.
Hello. Good morning. All right. If everybody will come have a seat, and if we have any extra kids, we would love to have them come join us. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all are sounding a little tired this morning, like y'all had vacation Bible school last week or something.
We did.
That's right. All right, I need a volunteer. Katie, you'll be my volunteer today. I need you to come stand up here. Okay, let's give Emily your unicorn. Okay, I want you to stand right here. And I want you to tell me, okay, I want to tell you that in this bag, there are suckers. Do you believe me?
Yes.
Are you sure? Now, the suckers may not be your normal suckers. It may be different kind of suckers. Do you still believe me?
No.
No. Hmm. Now, the suckers that may be in there are not our normal dum-dums. They may be Tootsie Roll Pops, and I think that there are 5 of them. Do you believe me?
Yes.
You do. Now, do you think that I would tell you something different than what's in there?
Yes.
Do my kids know me or what? So here's the final answer. Do you think that there are Tootsie Roll Pops in there or do you not?
No.
You don't believe that? Let's see. Ah. But you know what? You get to keep them. There you go. You get to keep. No. Emily, do you want them?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So here's the thing. The reason why I did that was I wanted her to think. I wanted her to think that there was something in there, but she kind of wavered, didn't she? What is that when we waver a little bit about what we believe? Is that our faith? We need to have the faith to know that it's that God is there. Do we see God? No, we don't. But we have to believe and have the faith to know that He is there and that He's going to take care of us. Just like Katie was kind of like, I do think that there are suckers in there, but then maybe not. But you know what? Were there suckers in there?
Yes.
There was. And so what I want you to think about is that God is with you every day because we have the belief that He is there with us. And He's going to take care of us, and He's going to love us. Okay? I need somebody to pray for me today. Who wants to pray? Lacey, you want to pray?
Dear God, thank you for being there for us, even though we can't see you. Help our faith to grow even every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. If my GeForce navigators will kind of stand in the front, we're going to share a little bit about our Vacation Bible School. All right. So we're going to tell you what we learned every day, and then we have a very special song for you. So y'all get ready. Here we go. Day one.
On day one, we heard the story about God calling Moses and choosing him to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. We learned that the God is the one who calls on people to help those in need, as well as the one who walks with us in face of difficult tasks. Our action word was move, and the scripture was Micah 6:8b. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?
On day two, we heard the story about Solomon following the instructions of his father, King David, to complete God's plan. We learned of how we can be faithful and physically active in specific ways to express our love and dedication to God. Our action word was act. The scripture for that day was James 2:1-8b. I'll show you my faith by putting it into practice in faithful action.
On day three, we heard the story that Jesus told about the four friends who brought a friend who was paralyzed to see him. We learned that Jesus calls us to care for others. When we care for others, we are actively living for God. Our action word was care. The scripture was Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. On day 4, we heard the story of the miraculous moment when Christ's women followers are the first to experience Jesus' resurrection from the grave and first to share the good news with the rest of the Christ followers. We learned the different ways that God calls us to share love and the good news. Our action word is share. The scripture is Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.
What a blessing, what a blessing. This time when we go into prayer, we've got so many things to pray about. But some of you may have noticed that there's this thing hanging up high above me. And that was a part of the process of the WAC renovation. As it's a mock-up screen to kind of see how we wanted to place screens. You're not going to be looking at it that high, okay? It was just a test. But I would ask that you pray for Linda Southern, the project manager of this, Brian Dale, the trustee chair, and all the trustees. I would ask that you pray for one another, for the architect, that this dream of this space being so fantastic that it draws people in from out there because you're excited to share God's word and you draw them in as well. So please be in prayer. I think I've mentioned that before, but I really mean it. Be in prayer for this service, for its ministry, as well as all, of course, the ministries of Asbury. Let us go to God in prayer now. Most gracious Heavenly Father, it seems that it's been a week of all weeks. Changes. Hurt. Pride. Struggle. People who feel that they are so right. Other people who feel that they are so right. A lone man out on a mission that ends in murder and he feels that he is so right. A church that gathers up from the embers of the burning pain forgives and shows us what is right. God, we don't have all the answers. We don't pretend to. We thank you that you are the judge and that you are the one with the answers. But we worship Christ, Christ that represents love, Christ that represents grace, Christ that represents truth and wisdom. So it is in Christ that we will trust. And we will do what Christ has called us to do and to be, and that's to love. We know that as sinners ourselves, that there are all kinds of behaviors, especially our own, that sometimes we find it hard to accept, and sometimes we accept so readily. Especially in our own behavior, we justify so readily. Again, may we look to Christ and truth. And remember that we are the church. That we are not called to be separate. We are called to be unified. I believe you taught us through your word, faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. So, Lord, we love you. We trust in you. We look to you. We confess to you that, again, not only do we not have all the right answers, we don't have all the right behaviors and right actions and gestures and attitudes and thoughts. There's a lot wrong. We sin. Forgive us. Help us now, in the light of your love, to go forward into this world and just be gracious and loving and accepting of one another as sons and daughters of yours, O God. Whether we accept behaviors or thoughts, let's just accept that we are one. We are one family. That will not change, for we are all a part of the human race. So God, we offer this prayer to you. We thank you that your spirit is alive and well. We pray for those that are not able to be here to pray with us today. So we pray truly in spirit. Be with those who are hurting, be with those who are recovering, and be with us now as we pray this prayer and pray what Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we invite the ushers to come forward and we think about our ministry, again, I do remind you not to leave this room today without finding a way to share your ministry with others by finding some way that you can be a part of this event in Hog on the Hill on October the 11th. And let's also remember that our mission of the month, it's hot out there, although it's cooler this week, thank you, Jesus. And it's hot out there, so you may be popping the tops a little bit more. Yesterday, I popped 6 tops. They were tuna cans. You can use the pops on the tuna cans, little tabs. Please wash them before you bring them to the church. But let's be sure and collect our tabs. Bring them a little baggie or something. Bring them to the church. We'll get them to the depositories. And understand that when you do so, you're supporting the Ronald McDonald House. What a great ministry that is. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to give to you. What a blessing. God, you give us so, so much. And you ask so, so little. Help us to be faithful to that little you ask, and even more so, knowing that you will take what we give and multiply it in the abundance of your love, your spirit, and your mission. For your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
We are so grateful for our celebration singers and band. Amen. Week after week. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And if you wonder why I'm standing a little further back, you'll notice that you're a little bit in the dark. Well, that means so are my notes. And this is due to kind of sort of the WAC renovation, but really more about our Entergy project that we've had going on here. We had a little guffo, and so we're in the dark for about maybe another week or so. So bear with us, and thanks be to God. Okay, today we're looking at the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter, as our lesson today, verses 22 through 25. If you brought your Bibles along and care to follow on the screens, may God's Word be a refreshment to your soul as we hear and read from God's Holy Word. Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 22 through 25. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a storm of wind came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and raging waves, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid. And they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even wind and water, and they obey him?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've all done it. We have. We've looked at this world, and we thought, there's a great big world outside, and I'm ready to go out there and experience it, live it up. And we do, from time to time. Well, I don't know that that's really what was on Jesus' mind that day, but for some reason, he wanted to cross the lake. It could be that where they had been, the fishing had kind of waned a bit. Maybe a different area of the lake would prove to be more fruitful. It could be that the crowds had been pressing in on him so that he really just wanted to retreat and go to the other side. We don't really know. All we know is that one day he looked to the disciples and he basically said, "Boys, let's try the other side." And so they sailed across. And while they cruised, Jesus snoozed. It wasn't long into his nap, and the disciples realize they're in some trouble. A storm has been brewing. They grow into a bit of a panic. They go over to Jesus and they nudge him, trying to awake him, all the time kind of scratching their heads going, "How can he sleep through this? He doesn't even seem to be disturbed at all." And the storm's brewing, and the splashes are turning to crashes of waves against the boat. The water is beginning to spill in to the boat. And again, they're going, "How can he sleep through this storm?" And they're frightened. And in their fright, they go over, and this time they shove Jesus awake. "Jesus, wake up," they said. And Scripture tells us that Jesus got up, and he scolded the waters and the waves, the sea, the storm. Now, the synoptic gospels, those gospels that are similar and really hone in on recounting the life of Christ, as opposed to John, which is more interpretive in nature, the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this particular story. And they do so, I believe, to show the impact that it had on the disciples. The impact it's to have on us as disciples. But it's only in Mark's gospel, where it adds the phrase that Jesus, as he was rebuking the storm, said, "Peace, be still." And the sea became calm again. But here in Luke's gospel, hear what Jesus says. You almost picture him doing this dramatic calming of the sea and of the storm. And then before he goes and returns to his nap, it's as if before he turns around to go back to sleep, he looks at them and he says, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" That's what I want us to look at today in the context of several other points. Where is your faith? Where is your faith indeed, Jesus is saying to the disciples? I mean, after all, has he ever allowed any of them to be hurt? Has any one of them ever been one day sick with him? Have they ever been without shelter? Have they ever been without love? Have they ever been without friendship? Have they ever been a victim at all by nature? Have they been burned by fire? Have they been blown by the wind? Have they been in the threat of drowning? Well, they thought so. What Christ was trying to say to them, "You're with the very Son of God. And I'm depending on you to share God's love, to share God's message. You're going to be okay. You are with me if you will keep your eyes focused on me." Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Jesus asks you and me, say we have a career change. You may have to move. Or maybe you're staying in the same company, the same workplace, but you've been added more responsibility, and maybe that's with more pay, and maybe it's not. Where's your faith going to be in the context of that? Where is your faith? You're starting a new school, you're going off to college. You've got a new family situation of some sort. Where is your faith? You're a bit unsure of yourself. You're a bit confused. You're a bit nervous even. But where is your faith? I'll take that amen. You've not been feeling well. You've not been feeling yourself. You go to a doctor. You don't like what he or she has to say. Or you don't go to the doctor, and you don't like what your loved ones have to say. You know something's not quite right, but you figure not knowing is better than knowing. Wrong. Where's your faith? You're feeling overwhelmed. You're feeling overwhelmed at work. You're feeling overwhelmed at home. You're feeling overwhelmed with your marriage. You're feeling overwhelmed with the church and all of its responsibilities or your civic responsibilities. Where's your faith? We would prefer to live our lives like a calm, placid sea. We rather enjoy the status quo. We want everything as undisturbed as possible. We don't like a changing world. We don't like it when someone's asking us to change our views, when someone's demanding us to think about this or to think about that. We don't like it when trouble comes in our face and we call out in our prayers, "Jesus, I could use a little help here. Help me, Jesus." And then the fear comes right beyond that request. The fear that Christ might say, "Do I know you? Oh yeah, you're the one that only calls on me when you're in trouble." And our lives, We want to achieve balance somehow. I know I do. Been working on it my entire adult life. Be the perfect homemaker. Be the perfect wife. Be the perfect mother. Be the perfect pastor. Be the perfect preacher. On and on and on it goes. You want that balance. We find ourselves hesitant to rock the boat to pursue anything that thrusts us even the slightest inch toward something that is not familiar, not the norm, not comfortable. We don't want to rock that boat. And we don't want to hear from our subconscious or anyone else with the dreaded words when we find ourselves rocking the boat a bit with those dreaded words of, we've never done it that way before. With the intent implying, and we're not about to start it now. So where does our faith come in? We must intentionally develop our faith. How much time do we spend developing our spiritual disciplines compared to other times? And how much time we spend with something else? Once when reviewing a job description, I had the staff person take their job description, and I said, okay, these are pretty equal components of the job description. I said, for this to be helpful to you and to me and to the church, let's honestly look at how much time you're spending every week in each category. And it was eye-opening. And the change was made because the change needed to be made, but not until we became aware. How aware are you that you are or are not spending any time developing yourself spiritually? We look to a reservoir, do we not, in times of drought? What are you filling in your spiritual reservoir for when you come to a situation, so to speak, where you're going through a drought? Come on, we know we've got to spend some time in prayer. We know we've got to spend some time in the Word. We know we've got to have some time with Christian people that we develop holy conversations, not arguments. Don't start arguing theology. That's a waste of time. Your theology is personal. And it's holy. Your theology is between you and God. Spiritual reservoirs, developing spiritual disciplines. So that when those trials and twists in life come your way, you've got something to draw from. You've got Jesus to restore and rejuvenate your faith. So where are you in your life right now? Where are you in your life right now? Are you stuck in a routine? Are you feeling like life is a little bit boring? Lucky you. Are you feeling motivated, challenged even, to rock the boat a bit? You may run into some barriers, even when you believe in your heart you're doing what God has called you to do, or you're doing what you believe you're supposed to do. In 33 years I've been married to Tony Hilliard, he's taught me a thing or two, and one thing that he's taught me is how to go on a canoeing trip. And I basically learned how to do that by trial and error. One of our first dates was a canoe trip, because there wasn't going to be a subsequent date if I didn't like to canoe. There wasn't going to be a subsequent date on my side either if I didn't like to canoe. So we go canoeing. He's in the back and he's going to steer, you know, using the paddle as a rudder. And my job, my one and only job, was to tell him when there was a rock. I thought, easy, I can do that. And I was looking good for somebody that's going canoeing. because I was going to go meet his parents. But he neglected to tell me I was meeting his parents after we canoed. Story of our marriage, and that's a whole other story, and I will tell it one day. Before I leave Asbury, I will tell it. Okay, so I'm in the boat, looking good, and we're canoeing, and right in front of me is a rock. I turn around, I go, rock! And we hit it. And he says, you're supposed to tell me way before we get there that there's a rock coming. Well, you didn't tell me that. You just told me if there's a rock. That's the story of our marriage. It's all in the details, folks. You forget the details, you're going to have an issue or two. Well, you know what I've learned in 30 years of ministry? Is canoeing and looking for rocks is a lot like ministry. You have to look for the barriers, for the conflicts, for the issues. And my staff knows that I do this a lot. I look ahead a lot. I think that comes from multitasking, trying to be that great mom and wife and homemaker and all that kind of stuff for so many years. So I look ahead in ministry. Because I think if you and I don't do that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're going to find out by error that would have been a whole lot easier if we had been prepared and if we had been aware of the obstacles and the barriers and the issues way ahead rather than as we encroached upon them. Amen? The art of being spiritually prepared comes from that patience, comes from that awareness, comes from that presence, comes from remembering life lessons and listening to God. Because once you get stuck on a rock or a problem, or in the river also a log, you have to understand that once you get stuck on that, you may have to rock the boat a bit to get off of the thing. You may also get stuck on one and have to rock the boat that you didn't see because it was just barely underneath that dark surface of water. And you couldn't see it because it wasn't above the water, but it was right there, right below it. Whether in personal life, career, ministry, problems are there, I know that, you know that. And they're thrust in our faces from the mere fact that sometimes they have been harboring right beneath the surface of our lives and we refuse to acknowledge them. We just enjoyed ignoring them, hoping that they would go away that way. But if we again are spiritually prepared, we can deal with them and save ourselves and a whole lot of other people the hurt and the damage that might occur. For sure, it would be to a minimum. Sometimes we kind of like floating along, don't we? We get up in the morning, we down our breakfast, our coffee, deal with the kids, do a little tiny chore or something that'll just be easier to come home to the house to if we take care of it before we go to work, and then we go. But then suddenly we wake up and we think, you know, I do that routine day in and day out. Even weekends have become a routine. And I'm feeling stuck. I'm feeling stuck and I need some help. How do I get unstuck? On another fishing trip story, Tony and I were in his parents' fishing boat. And we decided, we didn't have the kids. Maybe they were with the parents. I don't know. We didn't have them. And so we took out for this lake and found us a nice cove. And Tony dropped the anchor just close enough to the bank. Well, I was getting some good fishing in. And they were biting. Oh, they were biting. And I don't know about y'all, but we kind of had this contest going, you know. It's not about how many, it's the keepers. Anyway, So we're fishing, getting along, and then after a while, you know, I'm looking at my string fish. He's pretty good. I'm kind of looking over there at his, and he's all right, you know. But I've noticed that I'm not catching as many because the boat has drifted away from the bank. It's drifted away from where I needed to be. So he was all, you know, focused on what he was doing. So I didn't want to bother him. So I just began to wiggle in my seat a little bit. Is this okay that preachers are wiggling? I've got a member of the SPR or two in here, y'all. Don't look. So I'm wiggling a little bit in the boat, and it's rocking, and I'm thinking, well, you know, that'll get me closer to the bank, right? Well, it didn't take me very long, this wiggling bit. And Tony said, Mary, dear, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to get closer to the bank. That's not how you do it. He was disgusted. Here. So he took his paddle, and he started paddling us a little bit closer and got me just where I wanted to be. And I started fishing. I was doing pretty well. They're bringing some in. And he had this look on him like he was so disgusted. And I couldn't decide if he was annoyed with me because I disturbed his fishing or if I was catching more fish. I learned a pretty important lesson that day, not so much about fishing, but about being a Christian in this life. Sometimes it's not enough to rock the boat. Sometimes you got to take your paddle or your oar, put it in, and do the work to move forward. Think about that in your faith. One day the disciples were out on the sea in a boat with Jesus. And a storm blew up. And it disrupted their smooth sailing. And they tried to wrestle with the conflicting wind all by themselves, but to no avail. And when they tried to do it on their own without the help of Jesus, they failed. And fear took over. The result was this lack of resolution. When the solution was right there in front of them the whole time. The solution was just trust in the Lord to begin with. Save yourself and a whole lot of others a lot of heartache, a lot of wasted time and energy, a lot of mistakes. To turn to the Lord, for He alone calms all fears, restores all souls, and breaks up all storms with His truth and His righteousness. Once upon a time, there was a tale of 12 fishermen. And today, they share their story with us as they invite us to be effective disciples. Sometimes we have to rock the boat in order to become unstuck from the barriers and the problems that are out there. Some are going to be deep and well hidden. You have to look closely to discern them. Don't rock the boat in order to just simply get where you think you ought to go. Or the Lord may call you out and say to you, "That's not the way you do it." Look to your resources. Draw from your resources. Rethink your position. Consult Christ, if you will, the captain of your ship, because the plans He has for you makes your plans look like fish bait and mine. To carry this analogy nauseatingly further, church is the vessel of Christ. And we just heard from some precious cargo. But as all of us are sons and daughters, as all of us are children of God, we all are precious cargo. And each one of us deserves to be listened to be heard, and to share, and to work, and to love, and to live, and to practice grace, so that then we can gather more precious cargo. Because you see, the course has been set. Matthew 28:28, go ye into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching all that I have commanded you, baptizing the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you won't be alone, because I will be with you to the end of the age. That's the course. And it may involve some sacrifice and persecution. But I don't know of anything that I've ever experienced in this life that didn't involve some sort of sacrifice. Peter taught us to love Jesus enough to keep our eyes on Christ. That if we keep our eyes on Christ, i.e., keep our faith strong, develop our faith strongly, then we can keep the course. And when Christ asks us to walk out on water, maybe to rock the boat, maybe to calm the storm, we'll be able to do that because we will not sink, because we have our trust anchored in Christ, our hope for the soul. We're going to have storms. We've had a couple this past week, some locally, some nationally, some universally. We've all lived long enough to know we're going to have storms. Now we go to Christ and we learn with truth and love when it's necessary to rock the boat and when we need to just go ahead and put our paddle in and move forward, or when we just need to be like Christ and chill out, man, and just rest in the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray and offer this message. Amen. We'd invite our celebration singers and band to come forward now as they lead us in our closing song. Again, I know every Sunday I offer prayer time at the rail. I know every Sunday there are very few that take up that opportunity. Maybe you're a little shy about it. Maybe you don't feel secure about it, or maybe it's embarrassing to you. Maybe you don't want people to wonder why you're coming to the prayer rail to pray. Well, I'm going to give you a perfect reason today to come to the prayer rail and to pray. And that's that this message will be taken into your heart and shared. Or that we will be led to fill up this space. Lots of folks are on vacation, which they probably very well need. But if we're doing our job, if we're serving the mission of Christ, we need to bring in more chairs. Come to the prayer rail with me today, won't you, and pray with me? Let us be standing.
You are not alone if you are lonely. When you feel afraid, you're not the only. We are all the same, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need.
And all the people said amen. This world, he sent us on to save us all.
Oh,
If you felt the Spirit of God today, say amen. Amen. Praise God. May you all go forward into this wonderful, big, great world that God has given us to love and to live and share the peace of Christ. Amen.